scriptures from Romans chapters 4 and 5. Abraham did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. It will also be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also through him, we have access by faith into this grace. God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Calvary one day, and I will. want us to look this morning at another excerpt from the book of Romans. And I want to encourage you to turn there in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, the end of the chapter there, beginning with verse 17. And I want us to see here the connection between faith and grace. There is a connection, a grace-faith connection. And I think grace comes first because grace is in the nature of God. And grace, God's grace really precedes our faith. We are saved technically by grace, not by faith, because the Bible says even faith is a gift of God. God gives us that ability to have faith. But it's the faith or the grace-faith connection that is talked about here in these verses. And I want us to look at Romans chapter 4 and beginning there at verse 20. I want to read the passage again. And I hope to have some Holman Christian Standard Bibles in the pews. Maybe put that on our wish list for the this year so that you can kind of follow along in the same translation. But I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version. And there it says, Abraham did not waver in faith, did not waver in unbelief at God's promise. Now, you have to know a little bit about the background. Abraham was almost 100 years old. His wife was about the same age, and they had no children. But God promised that from his descendants, he would raise up a multitude, more than the sands on the seashore. And this was something that we would say was impossible. And in fact, I think that's the whole point of the lesson here that we have in faith. God promised it. God said it. And Abraham believed it. And that settled it for him. So he staggered not. He did not waver, it says here, in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was credited to him for righteousness. Now I want us to notice the example here of Abraham. He is called the father of the faith because here was an individual who had a faith that is a challenge to us. Because we are also faced with impossible things in our lives, impossible obstacles. We wonder how God is going to do this and how God is going to do that. We like to have a little more information sometimes when God promises us something that he's going to provide for our needs. Well, here is an example for us to follow, the example of Abraham. He is the person there that we should focus on when we think of faith. There are those who say, well, in the Old Testament, it was different. People were saved by keeping the law. Well, that's not really true. Because here it says that Abraham was justified for his faith. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it says, God credited it to him for righteousness. And so he was saved by his faith. I think that was always the case. Well, I know I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be certain about these things. And so I'm just going to say I'm certain about it. And you can doubt it if you want, but it is in the Bible. He was justified by his faith. So the person there that we have lifted up as an example is Abraham. And there was a persuasion. Abraham was persuaded. It says here he was fully convinced in this translation. I think the King James Version says he was persuaded or fully persuaded or something to that effect. And that's really what faith is. It's a persuasion. We are persuaded that God is a God who honors his word. He's not like people. One day they may say one thing and another day something totally the opposite. Well, God is not that way. God is God who is true to his word. And Abraham had proved him, I'm sure, time and time again in his life. And so he knew that God was that kind of a God. I want to encourage you to study the Bible and to be like Abraham, to be a seeker after God and to be a seeker after his heart. Because you will find in him a friend who is faithful and true and who will not fail you. And he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I think that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He will not fail you or forsake you. Well, here is an example of one who we would say, oh, Abraham, why don't you get over it? Get over this feeling that you and Sarah have that you might have a child, that maybe God still is going to do something in your life miraculous. And be real. Be realistic. But no, he believed God rather than those that would try to counsel him otherwise. Now, it's good to listen sometimes to some friendly advice from others. But if it goes against what God has promised in his word, we need to stand on the word of God, don't we? Because this is God's inerrant word. There's a persuasion in that example. There was a pronouncement. Here it says it was credited to him for righteousness. Well, who did the crediting? Well, obviously God. God declared him righteous because he believed God. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you may try to think that you can please God by doing good works and by keeping the Ten Commandments as best you can, and that somehow by a life that where the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, you might somehow get to heaven. Well, I feel sorry for you if you believe that way, because the Bible says that none of us are good enough. That's the message of the book of Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we needed a Savior, and that's why God sent Jesus. There's an example here for us in faith. And I believe that Abraham, because he took his son one day up that mountain called Mount Moriah, which the Jewish people believe is the very mount on which the temple later was built. And near that very spot was the spot where our Lord was crucified. Perhaps the very mountain, we don't know. But when Abraham took his son up there, he realized that there was a need for a sacrifice, because he said God will provide himself a lamb for that offering. And God already had it planned out. He had a lamb there, a substitute. Abraham understood that. I believe from the time of the Garden of Eden, they understood that, because God made skins for them from animals that were slain. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's why God sent a perfect sacrifice, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also here the experience that we can learn from. It says in verses 24 there of Romans chapter 4, that it will also be credited to us who believe in Him, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And we are declared righteous by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think about that experience of faith that we can have. And there's an accreditation, if you will, of that faith. I hope that's a word, and I hope it's spelled right. I didn't find it in my dictionary, but I think it is a word. Would you say so, Joanne? She's our English expert. Well, accreditation. Here it says it will be credited to us. It will also be credited to us who believe in Him who was delivered up for our trespasses. That's Jesus, isn't it? He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. Now you see, we can have a faith like Abraham. We can be forgiven of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? That our sins are wiped away, washed away in the blood of Calvary. That's what faith can do. Now again, it's God's grace. It's God that enables us to have faith. But the Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men, to all people. And so I have to just believe what the Bible says is true. That God has revealed His grace to all. But we must accept it. And that's where faith comes in. We trust that what God said is true. Like Abraham, we believe, even against all who would maybe try to convince us that we're foolish. Well, you know, we know the devil will try to whisper that in our ear. Oh, you know, this just doesn't make any sense. It goes against reason. Why one should die for all. But in God's economy, that's the way it has to be. Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. He cannot be tainted with our sinfulness. And so He sent His Son to pay the debt of our sin. It will be credited to us, it says, who believe in Him. There's an accreditation here. There's a justification. Who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Someone has defined justification as just as if, or justify as just as if I had never sinned. And I think that's true to what the Bible teaches. We are made just, we are made righteous before God by believing in Jesus Christ. Abraham, it says, was justified by faith. And that faith was in a God who is a holy God, who demanded payment for sin, but who also provided Himself a lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, slain from the foundation of the world. And there's a declaration here, because it says we are declared righteous by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, well, I don't feel very righteous. Or, preacher, you don't act very righteous sometimes. And truly, I don't. I still sin, as you all do. But we are declared righteous. There is a difference between being without sin and being declared righteous. None of us are without sin. And we need to realize that, because some of us maybe think we are. Or you are, maybe. Maybe sometimes I get to thinking that way. And then, whoop, you know, I fall on my face. I almost did there. Forgot that little trap door was there. Hopefully no one finds out where the lever is to drop me down. But declared righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Again, the Bible says that our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west when we come to Jesus. And they are buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. Well, that's the experience. But I also want us to look at the expression of that grace-faith connection. In chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "Through Him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's an entrance here. Here it says, "Through Him we have access into this faith or this grace." And that Him refers back to Jesus Christ. And I think that Scripture is its best commentary. And in John 1:11, it says, "As many," and that really means all, "who received Him," that is Jesus, "to them gave He the right or the power to become the children of God." And so there's an entrance into this grace by faith in Jesus Christ, just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, I have to hasten to add here that there are those who say, well, don't the Muslims believe in God? Don't the Buddhists and the Hindus and all of the others of the world religions, don't they believe in some God? Don't the different cults and isms in our country today, don't they use the same name for God that we do? And I would say, well, they may use the same name for God, but it's not the same God. Because the Bible says that very clearly, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, that's not me saying that. That's God saying that. If they speak not according to this word, this is our judge of what is truth and what is error. The word of God, He has given it to us to be so that we might be discriminating when it comes to truth and error, that we might be able to discern a truth from error. So we must come to the right God. And I believe that that God is the God that is revealed in the Bible, who sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross and who rose again triumphantly over the grave. There's no other God like this God. In fact, there plainly is no other God, no other Creator. So there is an entrance through faith in Jesus Christ. There is an enablement. God proves, or into this grace, it says. It's as if we are going into a house and there's a door there that we must go through by faith. And that faith is, of course, faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we enter into this large, spacious room called grace. That's the expression that the psalmist used. "Enlarge my coast and how you have set me in a large place," David said. We like space out here in the West, don't we? I think we like it because we can put a lot of stuff on it. A lot of, you know, old RVs and whatever we can't get rid of. Well, you know, we got a lot of space for things. And, you know, we don't really want to be too close to our neighbors. Well, David kind of felt that way, apparently. He said, "You have set me in a large room, a spacious place." A place where he felt like he could breathe and where he wasn't, you know, like that room that's where the walls are closing in. He said, "No, I've come to this place of grace." That's what grace is. We need to give grace to others too, because God has shown grace to us. We need to allow others to have their faults and to forgive them for it, because Jesus said we must do so 70 times 7 in one day. I don't even know whether that's possible. But I think that's the whole point, that we're not to set limits, because that's what grace does. It doesn't set limits. So there's an enablement in that expression. There's an encouragement, because it says here that God proves His love for us. Now, you can tell somebody all you want, "I love you." But if you do nothing to show that love, and maybe in your actions, your words, your demeanor, you show just the opposite. Well, then obviously there isn't love there. But here it says that God proved His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does that mean me too? Yes, that means you. Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He has brought that message to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, would you let Him into your life? Would you respond to His grace by faith in what God has done for you in sending Jesus to die for you on the cross?